Awesome. It is good to see everybody this morning. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. See a few folks whose faces I hadn't seen in a while. Larry, good to see you. Carl, brother, good to see you. Ruth, I see you sneaking in the back row. It's good to see some faces I hadn't seen in a while. So thank you all for being here. Thanks for everybody being online. We thank you so much for worshiping with us. And there's a sense of community that's kind of formed. It's a lot of fun. So thank you all so much for that. A few announcements as we get started this morning. And the first one is the big one. So all the details for our mobile food pantry are finalized. We are good to go. It was going to take place in the parking lot, but we realized through some communication with chief of police and some other things that maybe that wasn't the best place to have it because of traffic. So it's moved over to the Nolensville Parks parking lot, the one there behind the ball fields. The volunteers will need to be there at 7:45. We'll be done. I'm sure we'll be done by 1. I think we'll be done before that. But if you want to be a part of this, if you want to volunteer for this, you need to go to signupgenius.com and then enter in my email address, and it'll pull up this opportunity to volunteer. If that's too busy to do, go to our website. You can find it there. Go to our Facebook page. You can find it there. But you can sign up that way to volunteer. Here's what's going to happen. A tractor trailer is going to roll in about 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to dump about 22 pallets of food in the parking lot. And we're going to then start dividing it up and putting it in piles and boxes and bags. And then at 9:30, traffic's going to start coming through, and we're going to be handing placing it in trunks, a couple of weeks' worth of groceries for families as they come through that line. So this is going to be a wonderful opportunity. I hope that you're a part of it. I'm going to give you some information about other ways you can participate if you choose to. There will be some cost involved. We'll talk about that, but that's coming up. It'll be the 18th. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to go on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, and share it everywhere. Let people know that we're doing this because we got to get the word out to folks that there's food available. We're working with Providence Baptist Church. They got the Nolensville Food Pantry. We're working with them so that we'll be able to spread the word that way. But we just need to get to the word as many people as we can. So that's coming up on the 18th. I hope that you're a part of that. That's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. Also, as part of that, there's going to be limited parking. So if you can carpool, if you can come in the parking lot here, catch a ride up, something like that, that'll be great. We'll go back and forth if we need to, but just know that we probably need to carpool as best we can to get up there to the location. So any questions about that? Have I covered everything okay with that? If you have questions, make sure you put them online if you're watching online. The second thing is, if you have prayer requests online, please put those online as well. We'll have prayer in a few moments. So we'll want to make sure that we get your prayer requests in, so I hope you start putting those in now. Are there any other announcements, anything else going on in the life of the church that we need to talk about? Anything else going on? If there's not, would you please rise for a call to worship? Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. I got to tell you about something. Nobody online had to do that. I want to show you one thing we're doing as far as the outreach ministry is concerned. Outreach found a bunch of Colgate and Neutrogena and shampoo and all kinds of stuff, conditioner, and has put them in these little bags. And we're going to be taking 50 of those out on the streets this week to go hand out on the streets of Nashville during the burrito ministry. So thanks, Outreach, for doing that. During this time, we're still finding ways to serve, man. So if you got a way to serve that you want to kick up, we're still trying to serve in every way we can. So thank you to Outreach Ministry for putting this together. So now let's do it. Let's rise for our call to worship. It comes from John 3:16-17. You might have heard this one before. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that these verses exist. Lord, they are so powerful and strong for us. We lean on these because they speak such a brilliant truth to us, that you loved us that much, cared for us that much, valued us that much, that you would send the Son to save us. Not to condemn us, Lord, but to save us. We thank you, God, that that's the case. And we use this in the call to worship because that ought to lead us to worship. That ought to lead us to singing, to praying, to hearing the word, to rejoicing, to all the things that we need to do enough to worship you for someone or for a God that would do that. So we ask you, Lord, then to bless us in this time again. Show us the truth and the power of that phrase, and then allow us to worship in every way that you would have us worship. We ask these things, God, because we want to worship you. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Our musicians are doing such a wonderful job for us. Let's give them the thanks as always. Thank you all so much for leading us in music.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. Again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Oh, rich in love and slow to wane, Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I'll worship His holy name. Sing like never before, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 1,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship You. I'll worship Your holy name, Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
Amen, y'all. Amen. Thank you all so much. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful music, man. There is something about it that leads us in worship, no doubt. We have a few prayer requests that have come in for this morning from Joyce Alamore, Kim and Rain Ron, Marion Coleman, a family of, looks like Lewis Bill Green. I hope I have that correct. Bill Green, gotcha. Then Mike Dennington, who's a part of the congregation. We are praying for him. Suzanne is praying again for Cynthia Lucas, whose cancer is issues going on right now. We need to be in prayer for Cynthia. Amy Bowers had continued prayers for Regina Baker. And then Brian McCombs, we prayed for many times, Harold, had a stroke but has recovered. So we have a great great praise from that. Are there other prayer requests that we have this morning? Is there anything else we need to be in prayer for?
Jason.
Yes. What's the first name?
Maida, M-A-D-A, Prince.
Maida Prince, and she's 60 or so, and she's missing.
In Madison area. Left home 2 days ago, and has not been seen since.
So Maida Prince from the Madison area left home a couple of days ago, and they haven't seen her since. A schoolmate of yours.
Yeah, she did not show up to work.
Gotcha.
That first morning, and of course,
so we're
out.
So the last couple of days they've been looking for Miss Prince, and we need to be in prayers for that search and for her and all around. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Are there others? Yeah, I think, yeah.
Family of Harold Callis.
Harold?
Harold, E-R-R-O-L. Uh-huh. Passed on Monday.
The Harris family?
Ellis, E-L-L-I-S.
E-L-L-I-S. Gotcha. The Ellis family, we need to be in prayer for them and the loss of their loved one. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for? Yeah, my grandkids just showed up, so don't. If I'm distracted, it's only because there's cuties over here, man. So,
just,
yes.
Day school starts this week, so prayers for them and everyone.
Yeah, our day school starts back this week. We're following some fantastic protocols, making sure we stay safe, but we'll be having that this week, so we need in prayer for them as they crank back up. Absolutely. Are there others we need to be in prayer for? Yes, ma'am.
My mother's 94-year-old cousin, uh-huh, who's in Houston, Texas, in assisted living, fell and ripped her rotator cuff, but they're not going to do surgery. But just keep her in your prayers and her family. They can't go see her.
Right. So for a family member of yours has torn a rotator cuff and older, and she's in assisted living and they can't go and visit very easily. So, again, at all. 94th birthday. Wow. Yeah, be praying for that family. Absolutely. Are there others that we need to pray for? I want to thank you all so much for continuing your financial support of the church. I know it's odd to talk about those things, but we're trying to do some really good things right now through this time. And we know that because of the economic circumstances, people may be in hunger. So we're having the mobile food pantry. If you want to donate to that, you absolutely can donate specifically for that. We've already gotten about a 20% of it in. Luckily, we don't have to pay for it until about 30 days afterwards. But it's about a $2,500 fee for this. The first $500 goes to the tractor trailer and the driver to get it here, and the other $2,000 starts filling up the tractor trailer with food, and then they add to that the day before or the day that comes. If you want to donate to that, you can do that. Just make sure you mark it for the mobile food pantry, and we can start taking in those funds to make sure. We're partnering with Providence. We're so happy that they're giving support as well, but we can do our part too. So thank you for supporting that as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious loving God, we lift up these names to you because we know that you're an active God in this world. And so for each of these situations, for Mike and Cynthia, for Regina, for Kim and Rain and Ron and Mary Ann and Bill Green and the family member of Julie Lux and the Ellis family, the day school, for Miss Prince, for Brian McCombs, for all of these situations, Lord, we just turn to you and ask you that you have something in your will that can be done in this and through us to ease the situations. And Lord, we know that these are not only names we pray for. We all have those friends and family members that we need to be in prayer for, and we lift them up, God, and those ones that are so heavy on our heart that we don't dare speak them out loud, we lift those names up, Lord, asking you to have some sort of providence, some sort of will, some sort of rightness to happen in those situations. And we ask, God, for prayers for us, that as we go through this life and we see these situations, that you weigh it heavy upon our souls to go out and do everything good that we can do in your name to help people. We ask these things, Lord, because we know it's so important to do. You've asked us to do it, and you've asked us to pray this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're still preaching a little bit on this this prayer, so I want to read it again from Luke. The prayer goes this way in Luke. I may change a word or two because I don't remember which version I picked. That's okay. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to him, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into the time of trial. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. So, this Bible is called The Book. I got it for my 13th birthday. It's signed by my mother. Everybody wish my mom a happy birthday. Today's her birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Mom. No, it wasn't my birthday. It was at Christmas. Christmas of 1984, when I was 13 years old, I got this. It's called The Book. The book was a version that came out in the 80s. It used updated language. Jesus called body scum in it. And so for like a Gen X 13-year-old, that was the greatest thing in the whole wide world for Jesus called somebody scum. Not your granddaddy's King James version. It was advertised all over the place. I told Mom that I wanted one of these Bibles. And like a good Christian mother, her son wanted a Bible. And so she went and bought one. And she gave it to me for Christmas. It was formative in my Christian life. I didn't know it at the time, but I can see the beginnings of my interest in that down-to-earth, nitty-gritty Jesus that I love so much. It started in the search of this book. So I guess I should thank Mom publicly. Thanks, Mom. Anyway, I've kept this Bible with me, this one, all these years. There's been move after move after move, and then all kinds of stuff that happened between moves, and then another move, and this has been here the whole way. I haven't read it in years. It's not my go-to Bible to dig into the depths of scriptural nuance, but that doesn't matter. It's highly valued to me. It sits on a special place in my bookshelf, right behind me, a prominent place. I value it. I've had lots of Bibles over the years. I've lost lots of Bibles over the years. I've given away a bunch of Bibles over the years, but not this one. This one means something. It means more than the rest. It's value to me. I got this one, and it's mine, you know? I got this one, too. This one has my dad's name on it. I can't read it. It's KJV, and I can't understand KJV. I had it out for Harold Schaefer's funeral, though, because I had to read the 23rd Psalm, and exactly where would you like me to read the 23rd Psalm if it's not from the King James Version? So I have it. It's got red letters in it. I'm a red letter Christian. I like those words that Jesus said. I think we ought to study them a whole bunch. So I like those Bibles that have red letter words. But lots of Bible have red letter words. But those Bibles don't have my dad's name on it. I've made lots of moves with this one, too. I've hung on to it because it's highly valued to me. Now, those two Bibles, they have the exact same words in them that every other Bible has, right? Maybe not the same words. Same gospel, same message, right? They have the same thing that all those other Bibles have that we print a bazillion of every single day. Except these two, for obvious reason, hold value to me. They're important to me. That Bible that Mom gave me when I asked for it began my faith journey, and I had no idea it had. But I value it, and because I value it, hear me, I treat it differently. You hear me? When I value it, I treat it differently. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, of course. It just is. I value them, and so I hold on to them. See, all I'm saying is that how we value things is how we treat those things. That's all I'm saying. I know this isn't rocket science. I know you already know this. I just wanted to say it out loud. But I value this Bible, the book, and so I keep it. I protect it, you know? I hold on to it. I value it. Because how we value things depends on how we treat them. How we value things matters. Value is the basis for how we interact with the entire world. You value your spouse, right? Do you value your spouse if you have one? So you treat them well. Do you value your children? Yeah, and so you treat them great. You value your pet, so you treat your dog better than any other dog. Value matters. Have you ever met any of those people or one of those people when you talk to them that you know good and well that you are gaining every moment of their attention? You ever met some of those people? Like when you talk to some people, they make you feel as if you are the only person talking in the whole wide world. I am terrible at that. I'm so sorry when you talk to me. I'm not that way. I stare off into space when I think. We had a teacher one time call me a space cadet right in front of my mother and me. Imagine that. But there are those people who make us feel so important. They seem to value what we have to say, whether they do or not. They seem to listen to us. And we feel valued, don't we? When I talk to those kind of people, I feel like I'm worth something. The idea is value is so important as we serve too, as we serve as Christians. I found that when we serve people, when we do it out of a state of value, because we value people, that the service is done better. It's enjoyed by everybody more and creates a sense of community when we are valuing people and things like we should. We got this big mobile food pantry coming. And one of the things that we want to make sure we do when people come through the line, when they're hungry or when they might be hungry or when they're worried that they might be hungry in the future or they just, hey, free food, we're going to get it, whatever. We want to make sure that they know that they are valued, man. This isn't just a giveaway. Here, take this and be happy with it. No, this is a moment for people to realize how valued they are to us. And so we're going to do this for you because we think you're worth something. Especially in a moment when they don't think they're worth anything because they got to come get free food. The right value given to others turns charity into something so much more. Things get messed up when values go astray, when we value some things over others, when we overvalue good things and we undervalue other things, when people are valued more than other people, everything sort of starts getting messed up. When we assign values to things that shouldn't have that much value, it causes problems. We may not recognize it. We may even call it good, but it still causes us problems. That's how we make idols, by the way. Idols are just those things that we value way, way, way too much. It's not that those things aren't important. It's that we make them more important than they are when we assign them too high of a value. Imagine for a moment. Just imagine this. If somebody needed a Bible really bad. I mean, if somebody was in the throes of conviction. If someone really needed a Bible and there was no other Bible to be had. They needed a word in front of them, but there was another Bible to be had, and I said, I'm sorry, but you can't have this one. This was my Bible. I value this. I'm sorry, this is mine. And suddenly someone else is devalued. It becomes a problem then when people devalue us. When one doesn't show that another is valued, it puts the other behind the eight ball. But we don't notice that because we've devalued them. So what's it matter? What we value matters so much. What we value matters more than anything else maybe that we do. It determines how we treat things in this world and the people in it. We have to value those things right or the world doesn't work as it was designed to work. It's like the stock market. If we don't get the valuations right of a company, if we build it up to be more than it is, once the audit comes in, the stock crashes and everybody pays the price. What we value is everything. So Jesus said, when you pray, pray that God forgives your debts. And in the same way that we forgive our debtors. And we come up with all kinds of ways to say that, right? We have sins, we have trespasses, and we have debtors and everything else. But the word really does mean debt. That's what the word really means. It is a debt. It's a funny word, but Luke was always talking about money because those people in debt are always thought of less than others. Money matters, right? But on top of that, the idea of debts is about not valuing things right. When I hold a debt over you, I value the debt more than I value you. Think about the prodigal son. Daddy could have held that debt over his son's head, right? He could have said, boy, you've already gotten your money. Now you got to work as one of my servants. You've already walked your path, and now your value to me has changed because of these things that you did. But that's not what Daddy did. He went and got the finest robe. He went and got the finest ring. He went and got the fatted calf because he valued his son more than he valued anything else. Jesus said, when you pray, Pray that God values enough that God doesn't hold you in debt for where you have walked away, but that you are valued enough that you are welcomed back to the table. Pray that you are not held in your debt, but that you are honored as God's own child. Prodigal son, welcome back in because you are valued. And then Jesus said, pray in the same way that we value other people, right? That we don't hold other people in their debts. Use every word you want to. Use sin, use trespass, where we devalue people, where we keep them in debt, where we don't have value enough to share the table with them. We ask God to forgive our debts and forgive their debts like we've been forgiven. Forgive us like that because we recognize how valuable we all are, every single one of us. I don't know, maybe I'm not explaining myself well. It's just, when we have debts, when we hold debts, and I don't mean money, I mean everything. When we have debts, it changes relationships. We'll use money as an example, though. I give money. I don't lend it. Don't anybody get any ideas by that, by the way. But I don't give money. I mean, I don't lend money. I give it. I try not to lend it because when you lend it, it changes the relationship. If you owe somebody some money, you might not be around as much. And if somebody owes you money, you might not see them as much. And when you do see them, well, you understand. And it's like that with anything that we hold on others. Anything. You think somebody slighted you? Debt. You think those folks are just whatever you think they are? That's a debt. I think a lot of fights in this world would ease up if we all just let go of our debts to one another. Jesus said, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, Jesus gave up some debts, didn't he? He was hanging on the cross, and he said the words, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's grace. That's forgiveness of debts. I'd still be cussing the fellows that hammered those things into my hands, but not Jesus. Jesus said he forgave them of their debts, and Jesus forgave plenty more, too. He gave enough just forgiven for me. I'm not going to tell you all the nails I nailed into his hands, but I wore some hammers out. That's all I'm saying. But I don't owe a thing because Jesus is nuts and doesn't hold those things against us. Think of the value that we must hold to Jesus for him to do that for us. Think about how valued we all are, and not just us, everybody. Every single person has that kind of value to Jesus Christ. No wonder Jesus told us to pray about it. That's incredible. And it ought to cause us to think questions like, who do we value? What do we value? Where do values go above other values? What value judgments do we make in this world that holds people into the value we've assigned them? And who is convincing us to value them like that anyway? And then there's Jesus. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's the way Jesus said live, valuing each other correctly. I'm going to tell you a story, not to build me up. Wait for Act 2 of this story. It's better than Act 1. Act 1 is this. I took a friend of mine from the streets to a Kentucky basketball game one time. I had an extra ticket to go to the game. Carl's a friend of mine. I don't care that he does live in a tent. He is good people, and I enjoy hanging out with him. And so he and I went to a ball game. I got him a shower. I got him some Kentucky Blue on. I got him a good night's sleep the night before because that is not easy to come by on the streets. And then off to Lexington we went, Rupp Arena. We went up, we had dinner, we went to the ball game, we screamed our fool heads off all game long, we had a blast, we drove back, and now when I see him, we talk about it all the time. We talk about where we ate, and we talk about everything we did, and well, one time we were talking, he said something interesting. He said it was the first time since he was 18, he's the same age I am, by the way, first time since he was 18 years old that somebody didn't look at him and think he was homeless. 30-something years. He talked about how much he enjoyed the feeling of just being in a place where he had the opportunity to just be Carl. He could cheer and he could laugh and nobody wondered anything about him. The guy who sat next to us at the arena, sat next to him at the arena, they struck up a big conversation, had a blast talking the whole time. You see, that was only a Band-Aid. Nobody knew who he was. I wonder if how they'd have judged him if they did know. So let me tell you another story about Carl. He came to this church one time, a couple of times actually, but one time he came and he went to the Sunday school class that we had. And Martha Gammons was sitting beside him. And Martha did the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. This was powerful. He was part of the conversation. He had been talking and sharing some things, right? And we got done. And Martha leaned up next to him. Now, you understand, he's from the streets. He's not freshly showered. His clothes weren't laundered. And she didn't care. And she said, if you don't have anywhere to sit, you can come sit next to me. Value. Value. Carl still says, how's that woman doing? And I say, Martha? He goes, yeah. And I say, she's doing great. Church. We are valued like that in the eyes of God. God doesn't hold us in our debts, though we indebt ourselves to God every single day. But God doesn't hold our indebtedness over us. We are free from it. Praise God. Amen. We have somebody we can sit beside when we smell and all, you know? And so Jesus told us that when we pray, that we ought to pray that God helps us free each other from all that stuff too, where we quit holding each other into the debts that we believe each other owe. Part of the faith is that we never participate in the world's bondage ever again. We're not part of that. We're a Christian faith. We're not part of that. We forgive each other's debts, and we forgive ours. That people, but it's all, that's about people, but it's also about groups, it's about cultures, it's about everything. That's the way it works. That's the beauty of the faith when it's done right. That's the Christian community. That's Jesus freaks, man, doing Jesus things. And it's hard, and it's tough, and it takes the Spirit of God hurling us along. But when we get there, man, it's Eden, it's heaven. I think about Jesus with that demon-possessed man, you know, the one that the townsfolk tried to chain up in the graveyard. You know, they drove him out of the society. He was living in the tombs, and he was cutting himself with stones, and he was howling at the top of his lungs. He had no value to anybody. But then Jesus came to town, and he sat down, and he talked, and he cared, and he laughed, and he loved, and he welcomed, and he didn't care that somebody had to lose a bunch of pigs to get to those demons to get the value of this thing switched, ascertained out again. Jesus just forgave the debts and let the chips fall where they may. Church, we Christians are to lead the way in showing the world that devaluing each other only leads to death. Devaluing each other only leads to misery and to pain for them and for us. It's our call, it's our life to show the world that there is a better way where we value everyone, where we value others as much as we value ourselves. I think that's what Jesus said, wasn't it? Love each other as much as you love yourself. But if we take that word value and place it instead, we value each other as much as we value ourselves. That's what he thinks, what he thought, or what he said, I think. And so how about this week, let's do this. Let's just live in this phenomenal way. How about this week? Let's go practice this. Let's just do that this week. In the name of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the faith of Jesus Christ, let's just go and try to value things and people like we should. Let's just simply practice what we pray. I believe the miracle is already given to us to do it. Let's keep this scripture in mind all week long. Write it down somewhere. Write it on your mirror at home. Make it a message on your phone you can play or something. Every time you look at it, it pops up. Pray without ceasing that part of our prayer. Just forgive us our debts, Lord, as we forgive our debtors. Write that down. And see if life isn't just a little sweeter when we get the valuations right. I think that's what will happen. I think when we get those valuations right, that the world will be just a little bit sweeter. I believe that because Jesus said, go pray for it. Our debts are forgiven, church. Let's go out into the world and forgive our debtors. And God's people said, amen. I ask that you pray for that today. I ask that you pray for that during this song. I ask that you pray for it as you leave here. Pray it constantly. Go out into the world and forgive the world of their debts and know that you are forgiven too, church. Love you all, and let's have some more music to worship by.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire. desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. My friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
We had another prayer request come in from Sally Turco, her father Dick Newberg. We need to be in prayer, continued prayer for that family and for Dick. Let's go to God in prayer again, please. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you value us so highly. We thank you, God, that we are worth sending the Son. We thank you, God, that we're worth everything to you, that you went through what you had to because you value us that much. And we are so sorry, Lord, that we put you through that. But we also know, Lord, that part of that value of us is our recognition that you value everyone like that. And so as we go into the world, we ask that it become a struggle for us. Not a bad struggle, Lord, a good struggle where you accomplish something, but a struggle going out in the world to look for every single time where we value people incorrectly and value things incorrectly. And we ask that you pull us back in line every time we notice it. Because the one thing we want to do is to value this world just like you do. Value this world exactly like you do. Because we know when that happens, Lord, that we will treat our brothers and our sisters as we want to be treated. We will love them every much as we love ourselves. And we know that, Lord, is the goal of this existence and this world, is to live in it as you would have us live. So thank you, God, that you will send us into the world looking for the right values in everything that we find, making sure that we value it as you do. We pray, Lord, for Sally's father, that he given everything he needs for a good life, to heal up and to be in good shape. We ask these things, Lord, in your name. And all of God's people said, amen. It is good to see everybody online. It is good to see everybody here. Normally I would see in visit minute, but I got two grandbabies that I'm about to go love on a whole bunch. So love y'all. We'll talk to y'all later. It's good to see those who were seeing for the first time in a while. God bless.
Hey. Thank you.